Welcome to the Voice of Florida Architecture. I'm your host, Rhonda Hammond, AIA. We are continuing our local component series where we introduce the component leaders and share how they are communicating the value architects bring through the built environment within their community and their membership. In today's episode, we have the leaders of AIA Orlando. Please welcome the current president, Alex Strawn, AIA, and Lindsay Perez, AIA, their president-elect. Again, welcome and thank you for being here.
We're happy to be invited. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
So I've been really excited about this episode for a couple of reasons. First, that it's the first large component that we've interviewed. There are different dynamics. And the other reason is that, Alex, if you will recall, when we talked during Legislative Day, your enthusiasm was absolutely infectious. And you've got so many things going on. And you're so excited about your presidency. So I was really looking forward to this.
Nice words. I really appreciate it. We are excited.
So Alex, as the new 2025 component president, tell us a little bit about the history of the component and your history and time on the board.
For the history of the component, we are one of the largest chapters in the state of Florida. The last I recalled when I pulled some statistics from our executive director, we do have the most registered architects in the state within our local chapter. In history's past, some accolades which have been garnered through wonderful leadership, wonderful membership, have some of the most fantastic and inspiring leaders within our local Orlando community who have always, it's been sort of a rite of passage for people to be on the AIA Orlando board and then to be the president-elect and president. So in that time, recent years, we've received the Anthony J. Pallera Award by AIA Florida in 2003 and in 2021. If we play our cards right, perhaps maybe 2025 as well, but we're going to have to see if we can make that happen, right? Our chapter is home to the 222 program, which a lot of chapters have probably heard about now. It's the local Central Florida-based college program, which is a partnership between Valencia, UCF, and UF City Lab. It is one of our crown jewels here in Orlando. It is worth noting that several prominent AIA Orlando members have been integral in that program's success, both in establishing it and seeing it to be what it is today. Just to give you, as you had asked, to follow up a history about my time on the board, because people that are listening to this may not have met me before, I'd like to give a little bit of just a background for me. I did graduate from the local 222 program in 2018, receiving my master's from UF City Lab. During that time, I did participate in the Young Architects Forum here locally in Orlando. I helped host and plan some of their signature programs, including the several years worth of the Next event, which is a really fun thing that we're going to have this year as well. The Affordable Housing Design Charrette that we had hosted that was in collaboration with Orange County. And then finally I even worked with a small group of people to develop a submission on that charrette for the AIA National Film Challenge, which was really exciting. That was a fun new project that I'd never worked on before. From there, I paused after school to focus on licensure. That was a big thing of mine. I wanted to get that done. So I did receive my licensure in 2021, which took me approximately 2 years to complete, considering testing centers were closed for about 10 months during COVID. From there, I taught lower division studios at Valencia from fall 2021 to spring 2024, which, funny story. So I passed my last exam on the first day that I was teaching at Valencia. So I rolled in happy as all get out, and the students were kind of wondering like why I was so happy. And I was like, well, you guys as my students would have had either a really good day or a really bad day. And it just so happens to be a really good day that I passed my last one, right? That was pretty fantastic. Finally, when I finished that, during that time, I was the director at large for AIA Orlando before being nominated to president-elect in 2023. I spent this last year really assessing what is needed to be done to tangibly improve our chapter. And I've had wonderful people like Lindsay who have been a part of that process with me. And we are ready to roll up our sleeves and get to work.
Now, Alex, you're somewhat of an anomaly because you have a celebrity, an honored celebrity parent. They hold a very important place in AIA Florida's history. Would you like to share?
Yeah. And I always, it's so funny the way this stuff works. So in professional settings, I always refer to her as Deborah Lepton. But then when I'm with Lindsay and people who know her, it's weird because I don't call her mom, which is is a different thing. But yes, my mother is Deborah Lepton, Florida president in 1999. She was the first woman president for AIA Florida. She is a fellow, which is, you know, fantastic. And she has been my partner in crime and consigliere to no end as I've been making my way through this process. So, you know, it's really been a great point of connection for us as adults now that we've really come close, because it's just something that we each hold so dear to be of service to our profession. And she is just such a wealth of knowledge for me. So I really appreciate her. I love her to death. Everyone that knows her loves her. I really appreciate having her in my corner unconditionally.
I've only met her a few times and been able to speak with her a couple times, but she's just an incredibly intelligent, warm, welcoming person. And it's just incredible legacy that your family is putting together that's part of AIA Florida. So I wanted everybody to be able to share in that.
I try to live up to the big shoes, so, you know.
She's also a celebrity in my household, too. Yeah.
She's blazed a trail for all of us. The very first female AIA Florida president. That's phenomenal. So, Lindsay, you and I met on the state board when I came on as a vice president. You had already been there a while. So tell us a little bit about your time on the board.
Yeah, I would say I moved to Florida back in 2010, and I had already been a member of the AIA Kansas City community, a recent graduate of their Pillars Leadership Program, and a founding member of Women in Design Kansas City. So I was heavily actively involved. I was like, all right, I got to get involved in AIA Orlando. So pretty much from day one, I think even before I moved, I got to go to the design awards, and I started asking, is there a women in design committee? They're like, no. And so it took a little convincing that women in architecture would be an important committee to have in our community. While I was waiting for that board approval, I was heavily involved in YAF, commonly referred to here as YAF. In the Midwest, we say it different. And so I got to serve on the AIA Orlando board as that representative in 2011. And then finally, Women in Architecture in Orlando came about in 2011 as well. But after I had my first child in 2012, I became more involved at the state level through committees, because I feel like it's a great way to stay connected when you can't attend evening committees. So for me, that was a really great way for me to stay involved. I got to serve on convention planning committees. JLI was a committee at first, and I got to help talk about it as a track at a convention. Through my involvement with the state level in 2019, my good friend Kelly called me up and convinced me that running for VP would be the best thing I can do next. And so I ran for VP, and with the support of AIA Orlando and them helping get my name out, I was elected, which I had the honor of serving as the founding resilience committee chair in 2020 and 2021, not really knowing what we're supposed to do with this committee, and didn't have a lot of guardrails. So the committee got to define what we wanted to focus on, why resilience was important to the state. And then from there, each chair really helped build upon it. And now that resilience committee has done a lot in the last few years. My term for SVP was over. I wanted to get back on the board, but I also wanted to be connected to Orlando. So I ran as our state director. So I got back on the board, just recently finished out my term as state director, and then ran for president-elect for Orlando, mostly because I knew Alex and I work really well together collaboratively. We also feed off of each other's strengths and weaknesses. If you're going to be a president-elect, any president, it's a great person to be a president-elect who's working with Alex. We had a fun time on Friday at our golf tournament going around and talking all of our sponsors and just collaborating together.
We commandeered a golf cart and we were riding around together. No one could keep us pinned down.
I knew I didn't want to drive, but Alex took the rein and got us around. Almost tipped us over a couple of times.
So no, I didn't. Survived.
Oh,
just kidding. There was a few hilly moments.
Our driver that we had first almost tipped us over. So
yes,
Orlando is the second largest component within the state of Florida, just behind Miami. And of the 1,044 licensed architects in your area, there are 644 AIA Orlando members. And this calculates into an incredible 62% market share, which is the largest market share rate of the entire state of all 13 components. And this speaks to your efforts of serving your community and the board. Now, as I mentioned, I was excited about this episode because it was the first large component. It's the first component that has a paid staff. So tell us how this serves the component. What is that like? How does the staff work?
That's a great question. It is a unique aspect to our chapter. And I honestly don't know what we would do without having staff. You know, I'm sure that AIA Florida feels the same way, of course, that they're integral to serving this large of a chapter. We've got a lot of big events, a lot of signature events, we've got a lot of initiatives, all kinds of things going on at the same time. And we need that consistency because, again, we're as tenacious as we are just service members, we are volunteers, and we are trying to balance this within our work lives, our personal lives. This is just taken on a second life of, or a third life of its own, I suppose. So currently we do have 5 team members. There's Gary Scarborough as our executive director, Dean Hill as our associate director, who is the one in charge of organizing and managing the Orlando Foundation for Architecture, Ellie Morgan as our marketing manager, Katie Sanchez as our governance manager. And I am proud to say our newest 5th employee is Nicole Spates, who is serving as our grant writer and soon to be grant manager. Currently, this team takes on the heavy lift of our signature events, which is including but not limited to the golf and mini golf tournaments, design awards, FAPAC bowling fundraiser, conference and expo, clay shoot, board induction and holiday party, and much, much more. Additionally, they also manage our website, social media, and other critical operations throughout the year for both AIA Orlando and OFA. Now, in some of this description, I have already segued into some of our changes that we are implementing this year that intend to optimize how our staff integrates with our service structure, creates a more rewarding employment experience. We want this to be a career track for people, not just a part-time gig. When you've asked, you know, how does this serve the component? The real direct answer to this question is we simply couldn't do it without them. It is incredibly important that we have a team dedicated to these very, very large events. You're talking about, you know, a golf tournament that brings in tens of thousands of dollars to give to student scholarships. It is just such a huge event. The Design Awards Gala is another huge event. We simply could not do something, those things of that scale with just us being volunteers. Now, we can do a lot of the sort of critical thinking and the strategic planning and like all of those kinds of things, but the actual boots on the ground in day-to-day management, we simply have to have staff capacity to serve a chapter this large.
So I noticed that the configuration of the Orlando board is a little bit different from what I've seen. I noticed a couple of directors at large, an EP director, an allied director, and even a general counsel. So tell us about the makeup of the board and why it's necessary to serve your area in this fashion.
In addition to the executive committee, which is what most chapters have, consists of a president, past president, president-elect, secretary, and treasurer. You've described in the question that we also have 3 directors at large, an emerging professionals director, and an allied professionals director. That makes quite a robust board. It allows for us to really have a diverse array of ideas and thoughts and perspectives and all of that kind of thing. We do have a legal counsel, as you've mentioned, and it's not considered a board position. However, they are on call when we need to discuss legal issues. One of which that came up was us having to pass the OCAD, or Orlando Center for Architecture and Design, phase 1 MOU. We had them pass that to make sure that it didn't have any sort of legal snafus or anything that we were going to be concerned with that would get us hung up later in the year. We are actually in the process of revising our board structure to be more prescriptive for roles and responsibilities. To this end, the original intent was to have multiple directors whose role was malleable to meet the agenda of the board for the year. So these directors at large would, there'd be enough of them and they would have enough bandwidth to be able to kind of do whatever the initiatives were for the year. What we found is there's a sense of a lack of direction and practical application where they don't really have ownership of anything and they just end up voting at the board meetings, but not really having something that they can call their own. And that's left people with a lack of satisfaction that we're looking to improve this year. We really like the concept of having this idea of very prescriptive roles of like an emerging professionals and allied professionals director, which are responsible for important demographics that warranted representation at the board level. We would like to continue with that concept and have decided to double down on it in this pivotal year of growth. Just to give you a broad understanding of sort of how we're thinking about that, we've consolidated and regrouped our committees into the following. We basically have 3 groups or 3 bubbles, if you will. There's demographics, events, and initiatives. Demographics, for example, would contain the Young Architects Forum, Allied Professionals, Academic Alliance, Women in Architecture, basically any committees that actually serve a demographic population of our membership. We would then have events, which consists of golf and mini golf, design awards, and conference and expo. They're the big signature items that we have throughout the year. And then finally, initiatives, things that are not serving a demographic. They're not an event. They really are agendas that we're pushing forward. They are the tools in which our initiatives sort of take life. So that includes advocacy, equity, diversity, and inclusion. And finally, a broad brushed knowledge communities, which is really sort of open-ended. funded. But the idea would be that we would essentially retool these director at large positions to be a demographics director, an events director, and an initiatives director. Now, that does require bylaw changes, and we're working on putting that initiative into place. But the idea is that we've decided to revise the format because it's necessary that we are such a large and active chapter. We're really working on making sure that those things are set up and that we've created 6 initiatives throughout the year, and we need that bandwidth and that size of that board in order to actually execute all of these tasks effectively. So each one of these directors and the executive committee, each person takes a leadership role and then takes a supporting role for 2 initiatives. And when you sort of matrix that out, it means that everyone has a fair load. Our mantra is throughout the course of this year is not one person has to do everything, but everyone has to do something. So we're making sure that everyone has some meaningful bit of work that they can support, and that they can also call their own, and they'll be responsible for delivering that by the end of the year.
Florida hosted Legislative Day in Tallahassee, and AIA Orlando has always been very active. Tell us how AIA Orlando supports the advocacy efforts in Tallahassee.
Not to toot our own horn here, but we knocked it out of the park for Legislative Day this year. I repeat, we knocked it out of the park. So in recent years, AIA Orlando has purchased a charter bus to send people up to Tallahassee to participate in this event. It is my pleasure to announce that our chapter had over 40 in attendance, 20 of which being students, both of which are records for AIA Orlando. So we are super thrilled about hitting that benchmark. To accomplish this, we reached out directly to firms, encouraging them to send representatives and ask them that they cover both the representative's time and their hotel stay. We think that that's incredibly important. These issues directly affect our firm's business practice, and they should have a seat at the table. I would like to shout out DLR Group, Wolpert, Hunt & Brady, BBM Structural, CPH, HKS, DeAngelis Diamond, Barker Design, All Terrain Architects, Make Design Studio, and Rhodes & Brito for all heeding our call to send representatives. We also worked directly with OFA to create an advocacy scholarship, which offered students from our local 222 program a $100 e-gift card to offset the cost of the hotel stay, which was wildly successful. Most students were able to bunk up together, which they all prearranged themselves. That was their deal. With 2 beds, of course, which made their hotel rooms free, and it even gave them a little bit of money to get food on the trip, which was pretty nice. We are actively building these practices into our budget and procedural plans to keep the momentum going for years to come. We don't want these successes to just fall flat on their face after Lindsay and I are gone. It is crucial to share that this takes work. We had to roll up our sleeves and get it done. I mean, I was sending out emails every, half an hour for the month of January, trying to get people to show up. You know, it was like after every meeting, after every sync in Revit, after everything that I did, I was sending out another email and following up. And I mean, it was not just me, it was a we effort, right? So there were several people that were making this happen, but it requires a team effort. It requires work. And I'm sure that that's something that everyone at AIA Florida can relate to. So we were very excited that we were able to be a meaningful participant in the legislative day.
I think your efforts paid off because we've put a lot of effort into encouraging students to participate, and including stipends, and then reaching out like you say you did. I have to say we're not that diligent in every half an hour or so. But again, your efforts paid off because of the 200 attendees to Legislative Day, 90 of those were students, which means you were pretty close to bringing half of the students that attended. Your efforts absolutely paid off and made a difference. In fact, one of the students that came with you was one of my best and talented when I was teaching at FAMU, and it was just so happy to see and catch up, and she's doing really well.
One other thing that we did with the student outreach. We started last year, but we realized we started it too late. We went and presented in class to students about Legislative Day and why it's so important, why we want them to come with us, and why their voice matters. After that outreach, that's when Alex heard that there was that cost issue for the students to come. And that's when Alex hurried up and reached out to the board, reached out to OFA, and really solved a problem for our students to get over that hurdle for them to come. Just seeing them both at Legislative Day and our golf tournament, you can see that the students want to be involved. They just needed our help to get over some of these hurdles.
One other great logistical point to that was In addition to starting earlier and being able to present to them and make sure they understood that they were invited, why it's important for them to come, we also coordinated with the local programs, with the actual architectural programs, to make sure that they didn't have a critical event at the same time as Legislative Day. So the year before, last year, I guess, they had City Lab had interview days the same day, and people had to make a choice whether they were going to go to interview days and potentially get an internship or to go to Legislative Day. And we made sure this year that we caught that early, and we made sure that we cleared the way so everyone knew. We even had it to where students would be able to use me as a resource if they were having challenges and they needed someone to advocate for them to get some grace in having an assignment turned in late or something like that. I would be happy to reach out to their instructors and make sure that they understood that this was a just cause and that it was definitely something that they should be afforded the opportunity to do. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't mention, I have to give a shout out to Wade Martin for doing this as well. Several of you, I know that I gifted them all to our AIA Florida staff, but we also have our Pinitiative that is on fire right now. We had the coolest Architects Advocate pins that were amazing. People absolutely love them. It's this whole separate little concept that we're doing here at AIA Orlando. We're hoping to create a ripple and bring that out to the whole state. We do have those for sale on our web store at AIAOrlando.com. We also gave those to all of our legislators. It had it was on a card, a piece of cardstock that had a QR code that was brought them to the AIA Florida Legislative Issues webpage, which was fantastic. They're very trendy looking. So I would not be surprised if one day we see one of our representatives rocking it on the floor during legislative issues. We would love to see that happen, but it was definitely something that captured our creativity and our interest and passion in this effort. So that was the first of many, and we were so excited to see it be so well received and just catch fire like that. It was awesome.
When I heard what they were, it's like, oh, I want one. But you were so generous. I have mine and I love it. They rock it on the floor. We'll be watching for it.
We'll be watching. I'll be zooming in and enhancing the screens.
Exactly. They seem to welcome notions that represent who we are. And for instance, the poster we do every year, people will ask for it if you haven't pulled it out to give it to them. But before I move on from that, I want to say that the students, even this year, they just seemed more confident and bold in their sharing, because we give the students there an issue to talk to. And, you know, after a while, they are just so confident and speak. And then our representative, Allison Tant and Franklin, Gallup Franklin, has reached back out and talked about how nice it is. They welcome that participation. So it is just an incredible opportunity all the way around, from students to our organization and then representatives that are looking for this. So thank you for the bus and all your efforts there.
We are following up. So one thing that was really fantastic was in one of our presentations, we had with Representative Yarkoski, who was fabulous. He regaled us with a lot of stories and conversation and things like that. In letting him talk and letting him speak and share some of what his passions were about, he was talking about how he has, as being in the law enforcement circles, has sort of an investment from a political standpoint in some FDLE crime labs that are going in Lake Nona. And he had asked if we would be able to help facilitate having our organization participate in some type of a meeting with the president of UCF, if he would put it together. And I sent him, he actually sent me his personal cell phone number and told me to get in touch with his aide to set it up. I'm actively working right now to set up a meeting with Representative Yarkoski and the president of UCF, along with the directors of our architectural programs, the president of AIAS, Chase, along with myself and Lindsay and, you know, our executive director, whoever the right people are. But to get the right people in the room so we can begin to show our value as an organization. So if this is important to him, we can end up doing, I sort of set it up where perhaps we could do student projects affiliated with this program that he's interested in. We could host it at our soon-to-be Orlando Center for Architecture and Design or at some of our offices and have politicians and, you know, law enforcement and people come and really garner exposure for our local chapter. Just because Legislative Day is over doesn't mean that you're done, right? It means that you have to follow it up. And he had opened the door for us to say, hey, look, like, opportunity, take it or leave it. Now, it may not turn into anything, but it may turn into something really impactful, right? He gave that to us, and we are going to follow it through to its most meaningful conclusion, right? So we'll have more to reveal on that if anything comes of it. We will definitely make sure that we do everything on our end to facilitate.
In doing some of my homework, I noticed that you have a staffed foundation. We're going to have the chair of the state's Foundation for Architecture in an episode coming up really soon. But share with us how your foundation was formed and what purpose it serves.
The Orlando Foundation for Architecture is similar to the Florida Foundation of Architecture, where its purpose is to promote public awareness of why architecture matters, to help public understand the built environment, advocate for preservation, demonstrate sustainability practices. It also is our arm to offer those scholarships to our architectural 2+2+2 program, and then just promote diversity in the architectural community. It's our 501c3 nonprofit organization, and the staff that you mentioned is shared between AIA Orlando and OFA. By having shared staff, that's also set up the two boards to work a little bit more collaboratively, define boundaries of what is the audience of AIA Orlando membership versus what is the audience of OFA. These two boards have created some really great working relationships. And Alex mentioned a formal MOU for our Center for Architecture we recently signed. So we sign formal relationships, but we also have very collaborative, inviting one another to board meetings. And that's really helped propel the foundation forward. I cannot speak to the history. I remember it was a idea back in 2011 when I was on the board, but I think it solidified sometime in 2015.
Generally speaking, the chronology that you're describing is correct. When they had established Legacy 2020, you know, that was a big part of it. The idea was that we wanted to create the foundation to have an outward facing connection to the community to really describe and define why design matters to the public. And then to that point, there was a few critical mission items, one of which was to develop and to execute the Orlando Center for Architecture and Design, which at one point was just a vision, just a dream. And, you know, slowly but surely, we've been getting ourselves to a point where that's becoming a reality. So, I mean, I'm just more or less echoing what you're saying, but that's my recollection of it. Now, I don't have the specific dates or anything.
What's interesting, Rhonda, is that the general public can have a membership of OFA. We also try to encourage our architecture AIA Orlando members to elect the OFA membership during their annual renewal, so that we're really trying to support just not only our own foundation for architecture as AIA members, but we also are trying to encourage the public to become members as well.
Have you served on the state's foundation, Lindsay?
I did. I represented Orlando.
You both have mentioned the Orlando Center for Architecture. Tell us what that is.
Oh, you are now getting into the fun stuff. So we really, really like it. So the Orlando Center for Architecture and Design, or OCAD, is a longstanding vision of our chapter. And that is essentially to have a central hub for our professional organizations, activities, as well as outreach to our community at large. Again, this was one of the foundational mission objectives of the Orlando Foundation for Architecture. Several local chapters around the country have centers, some in the state, and we are looking to pull up ours up out of the ground as well, now that, you know, Orlando in specific has become such a robust professional sort of place here for architectural design and all kinds of things like that. For more than a decade, there has been diligent discussion and planning associated with the successful launch of an OCAD, and I am proud to say that we are actively working on making that a reality this year. Just to kind of speak at the high level, this will be a place where AIA, OFA, and other professional organizations can conduct their governance, host events, build up programs that benefit their respective missions. Additionally, this is a space where 222 program will be able to host midterms, finals, design charrettes, AIAS events, and other collaborative things with the profession and the community. So again, really being that sort of central hub for all things associated to our profession and design. We are actively working on developing program this year that would be sort of the longstanding focus of what happens on a day-to-day basis there, but nothing but excitement from our end. We're very excited about the prospects of OCAD opening in the next year.
Tell us about the Academic Alliance Council. That was a whole new concept for me, and I wasn't sure how that worked with the association or the component and then with your community.
The Academic Alliance Council is targeting, again, our students in the Central Florida 2+2+2 program. And it's really the efforts and the programming around that is to connect those students to professionals and expand their network. Last year, our Academic Alliance Committee, they launched a program known as Project Lighthouse, where they match students and professionals in a mentoring type of relationship, where they encourage not only virtual sessions, one-on-one with students, group settings. I have three students that I'm partnered with currently myself, but they also curate this amazing program for students. For example, coming up, they're hosting a technical documents one-on-one session where it's really trying to help students understand the intersection of tools used to create construction documents and what does a proper set of construction documents look like. So, and they're exploring other topics like how to navigate a career in architecture, both in traditional and non-traditional pathways, and then also helping them understand what does a good portfolio look like, how to improve your resume. So it's a very curated set of sessions that they offer the students, but they also ask the professionals in our AI Orlando membership to help participate and be involved in that. So it's a really great way for both our AIA members and our students to connect and expand that bridge between academia and profession.
Do you have any academia or professors or instructors that participate from your local schools?
We have a large number of AIA members that are adjunct professors. So I have some really great Academic Alliance current chair, Michael, and past chair, Arlen, who are really active and involved in the schools. But we also have a great working relationship with Stephen Bender and all the other educators that we can understand what's important to them and coming up and then where we can help feed gaps.
In addition to, Michael Richardson has been just a champion that's one of the things that's so awesome about this board is we've got people who are slotted into the right positions that are just so passionate about what they're doing. And Michael has been bringing the Academic Alliance to a new level. And he actually, just to be clear, I hope I'm not misphrasing this, but he is the local NCARB ambassador for, whether it's for our local region or for, I'm not sure exactly where his boundaries are, but that was something that he had got with Emily Anderson, who works with NCARB, to be set up as, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. They do all kinds of things. They're one of the most active committees that we have, which is fantastic. And it definitely is a bridge for us into the local 222 program through AIAS. So it's, one of the two things that really keeps us connected. And I do know because the founder of that program or that committee, Arlen Gill, who is currently serving the Young Architects Forum at the national level, is saying that the Academic Alliance is a model that they are actually trying to roll out at the national level. And they're trying to sort of make that be the standard in through the various levels of chapters. So one of the things that we are very proud to say we are on the leading edge of.
Orlando funds several different scholarships. Tell us about the different opportunities and why you feel it's important to fund so many.
Question is a great example of how AIA Orlando and OFA work together. Our golf tournament raised funds to support the scholarships managed by OFA. And OFA offers scholarships for all levels of our 2+2+2 program. Alex also mentioned that this year we launched an advocacy scholarship to help students get to Legislative Day. And then our Women in Architecture also has a scholarship for emerging females. This last year, they had awarded two one-time $500 scholarships. It was sponsored by ViStar Credit Union to give to an emerging female towards testing fees, study materials, or whatever they needed to use that funds for. So some of the scholarships we offer, I'm sure we're always brainstorming other ways we can create something that's going to help members in our organization thrive.
So, Lindsay had done, she had really given the big 30,000 foot view of all of the things that we're doing. There are a few things that we are sort of on the bleeding edge of. So to that end, we found that the advocacy scholarship was such a resounding success and that it just spurred students to be so excited about not just like Legislative Day and showing up for a road trip event, but like being in the thick of our profession, in the thick of our organization, being somewhere where it matters to be. I mean, it was something that like just the enthusiasm that they had was amazing. And we wanted to continue that throughout the year. So we are sort of actively planning this year to continue to provide that into years to come. And we actually are looking at ways that we could further provide what we're calling professional engagement scholarships of some kind. So potentially sending a few students to AIA Florida conference and to even maybe one or two to the AIA National Conference. I think that those things are, you know, it does sort of feed back into ourselves. But, you know, I know for me personally, I was gifted with the opportunity to go to AIA Chicago in 2015. You know, that was when I was just starting my undergraduate at UCF. It was something that really sort of locked me into the profession. I got to listen to Ed Masria speak about the 2030 Challenge as a keynote speaker. To see just the sheer turnout was amazing. And we think that really diversifying these scholarships through professional engagement opportunities is a fantastic way to really sort of keep people's passion alive. And on top of that, I mean, Lindsay had said, like, regarding women in architecture, right? Like, I had a meeting with our chair and vice chair of women in architecture that was supposed to be an hour, but they're just as talkative as I am. So it lasted 3 hours and it was coffee at the end of the day. So I didn't leave until like 8:30 at night, which was kind of a weird sort of a thing. But they were talking about how they are completely revamped the way that they are getting sponsorships for their committee by having it tiers packaged on our website. People have registered in advance for that, and that's given them the money to even consider sending some of their leadership people to women's leadership summits, to women's leadership events that are not something here local, like flying somebody out to go somewhere big, right? And that's becoming something that they are looking to sort of repeat on an annual basis as a part of their chair and vice chair opportunities that you accept when you accept the position. So through and through, from committees up to our local board, up to our students, I mean, we are trying to find ways to continuously provide those professional opportunities to people. And we're very excited about doing it.
So tell us a little bit about the golf tournament.
We just had our 36th annual golf tournament last Friday, and boy, was it a hit. You know, we did a great job, fantastic turnout. The weather couldn't have been greater, I'll tell you that. You know, I wish we had metrics to share with you, but because it was literally on Friday, we just haven't compiled those things yet. So we're still kind of working on it. This year, it was at the Eagle Creek Golf Club in Lake Nona. And that was a luau themed, which is kind of fun. Everybody showed up in their sort of hula outfits and other, you know, accoutrements that were, you know, indicative of what a luau is all about, right? It was a great opportunity, obviously, for architects, consultants, manufacturers, and everyone in between to get out on the green and smell the fresh air. Definitely a great way, you know, to cruise around and have fun on a Friday. This is a big driver for our scholarships. So the golf and mini golf tournaments raise a combined $15,000 to distribute to students across the 222 programs. Now, to be fair, we do raise more money than that, but we have pre-designated how much money we are going to use towards that. And there is a portion of this that goes towards, you know, our basic operation of the chapter. That's to be expected, right? But it definitely, the lion's share of it goes to the scholarships. From there, you know, as I mentioned, we are looking to sort of retool some of these things for years to come so we can provide more of a diverse spectrum of scholarships and giving back. So it's not just about paying for students' tuition or a portion thereof, but also providing professional engagement opportunities as well. So, you know, it's a lot of fun. It's great work. You know, we definitely are very appreciative of all of our people. We know that, you know, Lindsay and I, we had driven around to all of our vendors and sponsors that we were calling them tea parties, so TEE, not TEA. And they would have a tent at the holes, and Lindsay and I would go screeching around through there and would stop by and take a photo with them and spend about 15, 20 minutes talking to them, asking, you know, how they are, what we can do to, you know, improve their experience, whether it's, you know, for the students, whether it's our people golfing, or whether it's the vendors who are there, you know, sponsoring things. Like, everyone there is equally as important. And our board's motto is that we want everyone, no matter what you're coming there for, to have a great experience and have a great time and to have it be worth it. So we feel like this year we really hit that out of the park as well.
So Lindsay, I wasn't aware that you were there on the ground when the Women in Architecture program got started in Orlando. Can you tell us a little bit about the progress it's made?
Yeah, well, I would say our roots for our Women in Architecture at Orlando date back to the 80s. We've had a strong contingent of women architects that had more informal groups and meetings and things like that. But the way our Women in Architecture Committee is today, it was re-energized back in May of 2011. And throughout 2011, we really hosted networking events where we would just have women come out, and we would come together as one. We would also see what is the sort of support women in architecture were seeking, and we didn't really formalize the structure. I mean, it's gone through a lot of revamping since 2012, but it was a more formal structure with a chair, vice chair, different mentoring and programs to be planned back in 2012. And I think just taking the time to formulate a structure and addressing the needs of women in the profession, but then also listening when something needed to be revamped year over year has led to this powerhouse of committee we have today. Our committee is probably the strongest committee that we have in AI Orlando. And it's because the group in the last few years have really revamped it, really listened to our members on what sort of programming and activities they're seeking, that they've already planned out their programming through June of 2025. The programming doesn't just help empower women in architecture. They are addressing things that give back to the community. They do a Habitat for Humanity build. It helps attendees learn about the construction process and really have a hands-on experience, but it's also giving back to the community. So they do a lot of events like that. And our Women in Architecture history dates back a long time. We have a lot of great women leaders in AI Orlando, like Alex's mom, Deborah Lupton, Jackie, Molly, and others that really helped give us our committee that we have today.
It's not surprising, listening to you two, to learn that AIA Orlando has won the Chapter Pilar Award. And you mentioned in 2021 and 2023, is that right?
Or 2003 and 2021.
So we've covered who and what AIA Orlando is. What would you like to share about your vision for AIA Orlando?
Our mission as a board this year, we had said it at the very beginning, it was at the very first board meeting, is to make it exciting to be a member of AI Orlando and to participate. We want people to feel like they are in the middle of the action. And, you know, FOMO can be our friend, right? We want a fear of missing out when you're not there. So it's like, come on, join the fray, you know, get in the middle of it all and have some fun, right? It's all about having fun. So that's really our big thing. We want to make it enjoyable for people. We want people to feel like what they're doing actually matters. And it yields tangible results. In order to do that, we created a strategic plan focused on building the necessary infrastructure for efficient operation and year-to-year growth, hitting record numbers for key benchmarks that indicates a chapter's performance, and finally, positively impact the bottom line value to our members. To do this, we've focused on six key initiatives throughout the year. The first is what we're calling our service member workspace. We have actually we spent a good portion of last year putting together a package for how to purchase a Google Workspace business membership. And we've gone ahead and we've onboarded all of those accounts. We're starting to populate our drive folders and everything. All the best practices that you would expect from a business, we are looking to implement here. It's a long time coming and it's finally time that we do this. Our goal is to create the opportunity for year-to-year growth, to have a repository of tools and documentation and other kinds of things that will allow for us to not reinvent the wheel. We've seen several different committees and board members and boards and other groups and subgroups create these sort of one-off things themselves. In order for those to truly stick, the chapter needs to host it. So we are looking to do that. This has offered us, even right now, chapter emails for continuity. So all of us have emails. It's not just the few, you know, executive committee members. Each of the committees have their own emails. It allows for us to have collaborative tools such as a shared calendar, documents, drive, like all kinds of things that are necessary for us to really be productive and effective. The next one is the bylaw and policy review. But considering the fact that Lindsay is the leader appointed to that, who I could not have thought anyone better to do it than her.
As every good board has a set of bylaws and policies, which sometimes are reviewed like the last time 5 years ago or something like that. So we are re-reviewing all of our bylaws and policies to make the necessary changes that we need to propel our chapter forward. Alex alluded to some of the structural changes that we're making with our board and roles and responsibilities with our staff. In order to do all those changes, we need to document it into our policy and bylaws. But while we're also doing this, we need to update procedures. And so this is a great way. We have a task force that's going to review these. And then I think we're going to also infuse what is the timeline that these need to be reviewed by the board on a certain basis so that it's not nothing becomes outdated, and we verified that nothing is outdated in that policy and procedure. So we have our first committee meeting or task force committee meeting coming up on March 7th, where we're hoping to review our first set of policies, tackling two at a time, and then we'll bring it to the board for voting, making sure that we're keeping up to date with all these things that the board needs to do.
The next is our social media program. So, you know, for a organization that really thrives on membership and on attendance at events and other things like that, social media is the preferred medium to communicate to the membership. What we are first doing is have a comprehensive peer review of both the AIA Orlando and OFA websites. So they're going to go tab by tab, you know, link by link, submission by submission, and figure out what works, what doesn't, what's inaccessible, provide a comprehensive list to our marketing manager, Ellie, to implement on our both of our websites. We are then going to establish a workflow for our social media. So that's going to essentially go from the service members who are voluntary creating the content, leading to our staff marketing manager to put those things together using pre-made templates and other things like that. And then finally being handed off to a social media consultant, which is a new thing that we are actually looking to implement. We have budgeted for a social media consultant for both AIA Orlando and OFA starting in July this year. We found that that is practically a full-time job to be a social media coordinator, and we need to have somebody who can understand how to optimize that delivery much more effectively than our staff members, who are just like doing that as like one of the thousand tasks that they have. It needs to be a dedicated position for us to maximize our growth. Now we are looking to that initiative team is going to put together the procurement documentation and all the necessary things for us to consider consultants for that role. Tangibly speaking, what we've had them do, and that's kind of the secret sauce here, is that we are not having these committees come up with these esoteric sort of things that are never yield in tangible benefit. We are making these initiatives tangible. We want for people to actually see the benefit. So essentially this task force, in addition to the things I've just mentioned, they are going to come up with three posts a week for 52 weeks a year. So that means that we are going to consistently have three posts throughout the year. They're going to generate, overall themed program, graphic templates, you know, categories, spotlights, all kinds of things that really populate our social media. So we are consistent. We have a consistent quality. We are thorough. We are constantly outreaching. All of the good stuff. Got a group together that's going to put that stuff into place. The fifth initiative is staff adjustments, which we've alluded to in a lot of ways already. So we have increased the staff capacity for this year with a one-time infusion from reserves that are marked for this kind of growth. Now, in order for us to maintain that, we have followed it up by hiring a grant writer at the beginning of the year, who we've already strategized with her, and we believe that it's possible for us to earn the necessary funds for this to be self-sustaining moving forward. And we are actually looking to escalate her from just a part-time person. She'll still be part-time, but will be much more heavily involved in our chapter's activity. But that was a huge boon for us, was to start to actually capture some of these things. I mean, we found that, you know, her responsibility will be for us to deliver, at least in her current capacity, to deliver two grants a month. And within the first week of her looking, she found the prospective opportunity for a $10,000 grant, which we've submitted for. That's just within a week, right? So like we're really optimistic and hopeful at what this can yield, and that it can really bring in some much needed revenue for us to continue our growth. The goal is that by 2026, we can budget for the four starting team members to be full-time and for our grant writer to be more prominently elevated to meet our continuing needs. Now we have passed governance that allowed all of our staff to begin the year with both PTO and holidays. That is a huge thing for us. We're bringing them up to close to full time. We want to make sure that they have commensurate benefits. You know, it's about providing value to our staff members. You know, we are also looking at offering them training resources and tools that will be provided that they need to sort of pitch to us, right? And we can strategically pick which ones are important. But the idea is that, you know, we'll get an ROI to the chapter by enhancing each of those team member skills. And to them, you know, they have felt like that's definitely a benefit, because they want to do all kinds of training and stuff like that. Essentially, you know, the bottom line is that we are implementing best practices, including goal setting, mid-year check-ins, end-of-year reviews, 360 reviews, all kinds of different things that allow for us to be much more in tune with how we as a board that are comprised of really like upstanding professionals that have a lot of talent, you know, how can we begin to sort of elevate the quality of experience for them as well, to where these are not part-time jobs, but real career-making years for them, where they can either stay with us or they can end up being springboarded into the profession, be peers with us. So a lot of really good stuff with our staff adjustments. And finally, big one, which is OCAD phase one. OCAD has been a long-standing vision, got a lot of ideas, a lot of input on here. There's been several different iterations for it moving forward or looking back. We are thrilled to announce that AI Orlando and OFA have signed an MOU to officially kick off phase one. And we have scheduled this to be opened by January 2026. We are actively looking for properties as we speak. We are having our commercial realtor sending us stuff to look at. We have people who are Deborah Lepton, FAIA, and now newly appointed Keith Ashley, who has been elevated to fellow as well. Those two are really sort of tag teaming our boots on the ground search for the effort or for the property. Very strategically picked. I mean, Deborah has experience in purchasing and acquiring buildings for DLC Engineering when she was the CEO of it for years, and Keith Lashley being one of the senior construction administration team members for HKS, you know, pairing sort of a front end and a back end approach at to how to procure some of these properties. What we are currently looking for right now is a 3,000 square foot facility centrally located in the Orlando area. We are focusing on the Orlando Main Street districts, which are prominent up and coming places that we would like to see ourselves growing into. We do have a proposed design team together that has pledged to offer their services, as well as a general contractor who has pledged to be a partner on the project, both offering an effective way of executing this project without having to pay all of the same typical costs that you wouldn't expect for us to pay as an architectural organization. We will be calling favors for all of our, you know, to get charitable donations to the foundation from our reps to, you know, show off some of the best items that they can possibly showcase at our new location. You know, we're going to have all kinds of things, really, really exciting stuff. We are super thrilled to actually get this thing off the ground. A lot of invested parties in this, a lot of talent is ready to be put to use, and we couldn't be more thrilled. Those are our six initiatives for the year. We do have a few other items. We are looking at offering free events throughout the year, including our hard hat tours or open facility tours every other month, as well as like community social hours every other month. We're not quite there yet. It's taking a little bit of time for us to get them off the ground because we're doing so much at one time. Really fantastic stuff.
I think we went straight from bylaws to social media and skipping over.
Oh my goodness. I cannot believe I forgot that.
Your six initiatives. So Please go ahead. Well,
I am glad that you mentioned that because I was questioning whether I should share our trade secrets for this because it is an active competition time.
Maybe you could just say that we have a focus, laser focus on that because it's important.
The secret was out, but we're coming for the title this year. So I think that everybody who's been winning before should really be on top of their game because we are coming for it. We're not going to talk about how we're going to do it. We have a game plan together. We look forward to getting our name on that coveted trophy that's in AIA Florida's headquarters.
So thank you, Alex, for sharing your initiatives. It's very exciting and people can hear his enthusiasm and why I was so caught up in it. Everything that you talked about will have a tremendous impact on this component. The OCAD phase one, that is incredibly exciting. And if you think about there, it's limited the impact that it can have both on the architects in your area, the community design. It could be a model for other components around the state or other states for that matter. So thank you for sharing your vision for the component. I want to ask Lindsay one more. You've been active at the local component level and have been an integral part of the state board as long as I've been there. And your work on the resiliency committee has led up to AI Florida submitting to the appendices of the upcoming building code. Why do you think it's important to be a part of AIA?
I believe I have many, many answers for this, but I'm going to try to be succinct. I think it's important to be part of AIA because as architects, we try to design a space, a community, a world in which we want to improve and leave better off than when we found it. And I think that's the exact reason why members who are involved and who are excitedly involved in AIA, whether it be their local component or Florida, because we're moving something forward together. There's opportunity to move and improve things at firms, but when you come together as an association, I think your impact is just greater. And I think the Resiliency Committee, for example, the collaborative efforts of all the people have come together to work on that appendices. It's just amazing. I learned so much from that group. I thought I knew some stuff, but apparently I knew, like the group that got to work on that, there's so many amazing minds. And I don't know how many iterations and edits it went through, but it is a collective piece of work that we could all be proud of. There's many examples of that across all of our components in the state where we can just improve ourselves as professionals, but also improve the communities that we're serving. And I just think that's really why you get involved in volunteerism to begin with, and certainly why I love being a part of AIA.
Well, thank you so much. So AIA Orlando is a member-focused, value-infused powerhouse. It makes me want to move to Orlando and be a part of all the activities and enthusiasm and creativity and focus. So Alex, I can't wait to see how the year unfolds with you. I very much look forward to seeing where you take it. If someone wanted to participate or be on a committee or be a part of your vision, how would they get in touch with you?
You could reach me directly at president@aiaorlando.com, or you could reach out to our website www.aiaorlando.com. You could reach out at any place. We'll be happy to get you in. One last point to mention is that even if you've never participated before, you're actually the exact people that we are looking for. This one of the secret ingredients to being so successful this year for us that we've invested heavily into is to get a mass turnout of new people that have never participated. Instead of tapping the same people for yet another year, which we always want that experience, right? But we've got like 20 to 25 new people on committees who have never participated just by doing a mass outreach and recruitment. So here, if you're listening, if you are a little shy, you haven't done this before, we want you, please reach out. And you're in the Orlando area, there will be a place for you where your passion can put to use and you can see something come of it.
Thank you both, Lindsay and Alex. Thank you for sharing about this incredible component in AIA Orlando. Thank you for listening. We welcome you to stay tuned as we continue our component series and introduce the members of the Board of Architecture and Interior Design. You can find us wherever you stream your podcasts. This is Rhonda Hammond, AIA, your host, and thank you for listening to this episode of The Voice of Florida Architecture.